All right, welcome into the latest edition of That's So Cincinnati podcast. So Cincinnati. Excited to be here with you. I'm your Bengals columnist, Paul Dana Jr., here with Politics Extra, Politics Guru, Richard Marks Lover, Jason Williams. So excited. I think every single time I'm going to have to give you the Richard Marks intro just because it's still so unbelievable.
Hey, there are worse things to be called in this world, and I'm not ashamed to say that I like Richard Marks.
Yeah.
Hold on to the nights, baby. Those endless summer nights.
They are. I feel like we shouldn't dwell on that too much because people might not want to keep listening. I feel like it's fine for the people at the end of the podcast when we derail and we end up with you talking about your love for Richard Marks and other terrible musical bands and why you don't like the Beatles. But right now, I just feel like it's too early for people. They came here for some real content. Like they don't need to be hearing your bad takes.
Don't get much more real than R. Marks.
You're right. He does bring the real. There's no doubt about that. We're going to bring it today. Our Inquirer editor, Burl Love, is going to join us.
Looking forward to that.
We shout him out here pretty much every week, and we've discussed his love of the Godsmack from Tickle Pickle from way back when, many different times. But actually going to be here with us talking a little bit about not only has returned back here as editor, he's been here for 10 months now, but you know, the paper, the editorial board is not endorsing people anymore. The issues, then you can go and see some of those endorsements that are up there right now. Those are being endorsed, but the days of here, at least for now, of endorsing people are over. Which is a really interesting conversation about the landscape of media, why you would and wouldn't do that, and why the decision was made, and some things learned throughout the process of meeting with candidates and all that stuff.
So I'm looking forward to it because Burl's an incredible supporter of our podcast, and he's an interesting guy, and I'll be interested to hear what he says about the endorsements, because I just think I love that we're not endorsing, because I'm kind of like, it just seems so old school and stuffy, newspapery.
Yeah, it is.
And maybe this is just this is my own personal thing. I've never thought endorsements were really worth a whole lot, and outside of a party endorsement, which gets you on a sample ballot. So, you know, endorsements really are so the candidates themselves can thump their chest and put in an ad. Hey, I was endorsed by, you know, the Cleveland Plain Dealer and the Cincinnati Inquirer and the FOP and
yeah.
You know, 10 other organizations. Like,
it's all noise. And there's no sense in jumping in the noise for what? To me, I think it's here. It should always be about giving people all the information, not about telling people how to think.
Exactly.
I mean, that's never what any newspaper has ever been about. And, you know, and now, I mean, you write opinion. Lots of people write opinion. Heck, I write opinion on occasion. And there's room for that, but I think when you get to something like that, it's different.
Yeah, because that's where you get, no matter what way you go on an endorsement, and you could even, you know, endorse both sides, which I think traditionally, you know, a lot of newspapers do. They'll endorse a Democrat here, a Republican there in a different race, and vice versa. But, you know, you tend to get those labels of a newspaper, or just overall, like, oh, they're a liberal newspaper, or, well, they're a right wing, you know, newspaper or media outlet. And it's just like, you know, I love how we have it set up right now. And I love our editorial board. I love the approach. I am not on the editorial board. You know, I'm excited that, you know, I write the column. My column is about Watchdog complementing our political and government reporting done by Scott Wardman and Sharon Coolidge and our Columbus crew. And I didn't mean to say reference
not
to
the
Socrates.
Columbus crew.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Crew of people we employ.
But yeah, it's not a watchdog, or it's not a liberal column,
right,
or a conservative column. It's a watchdog column. It's calling out both sides. And I like our setup right now, covering politics. Yeah. And
You wrote some. You wrote this week about, look, if you have AFTAB Shabbat fatigue, I've got other really important, interesting races for you. I think everyone can say that they have AFTAB Shabbat. I have to imagine.
Yeah.
Is there a single soul in this city that doesn't have fatigue from that race? It is so. What is going on? There's double agents now. Like what?
Espionage? Man.
What is happening? I can't even handle that over there anymore. I can't.
You can't handle my singing? Or?
Well, that. No. I definitely would prefer that didn't happen. That is becoming a disturbing trend here on
Secret Agent Man.
that you consistently feel comfortable going to the singing voice. I'm okay with it, but it's a concerning trend, I think, for everyone.
All right, let's get to the business.
No, but I don't. Is there anything that we should be concerned about with all this, all the crap that whatever this latest garbage is? That is it, or is it just more mudslinging between two people that have slung mud at each other for months?
Well, this. You know, I don't know, double agent, someone who actually infiltrating a campaign is against state law. And so the big question is now AFTAB Pureval's campaign has denied saying this guy, that they directed this guy. They have acknowledged him as a volunteer on their campaign. There's a lot of speculation out there that, you know, he's paid by the campaign or he's paid by the Ohio Democratic Party to work on behalf of the campaign. I could say this, that Ohio Democratic Party Chairman David Pepper just this morning said this guy, Jack Doran Wind, is not on the Ohio Democratic Party's payroll, and he never has been. So that puts that to rest. There's some questions out there still about, it raises questions about campaign tactics and, you know, maybe is it a win at all costs type of mentality? But it really is par for this whole campaign. There's been so much mudslinging and nastiness and yucky ads on both sides. And here we have, you know, I mean, we've just had almost everything in this campaign,
yeah.
And here's this. So,
yeah.
Again, I do want to make it clear that Pureval's campaign has said, he is not this kid. This guy, he's a 22-year-old man, was not directed. They had no knowledge of him going earlier this month to a Shabbat campaign event wearing a Shabbat T-shirt, certainly I think there are questions there about, you know, because it is illegal to infiltrate a campaign, it's illegal if it's ordered by the opposing campaign. Now, I didn't see anything in the state law that says if someone decides to go rogue, from a campaign or something and just do it on their own, whether that's against the law. That's a little fuzzy, so...
Did you order the code red?
To
Secret Agent Man. On behalf of everyone in Cincinnati, I'd like to say, ugh. I'm just done.
Yeah.
Just done with all... Like, that just needs to end and be over with. I think everyone who has a television in this city is just sick to death of this race and done with it.
And you know what? By the time we talk to you guys again, it will be done.
It will be done. And that's important. Next Wednesday, we are going to come in here and have a election aftermath That's So Cincinnati Spectacular podcast.
Woohoo!
All of those words will be in there. And we're going to kind of wrap everything up, talk about everything that went down, lots of fallout, who won, who lost. There's so much that's going to come out of, obviously, on Tuesday. So we'll have all the local fallout for you here. So come back next Wednesday for our election spectacular.
Yeah.
And all the things. But let's run through you. What I mentioned earlier was there were some other races that you pointed out that were important that not a lot of people are talking about, and they're on your ballots. So when you go on Tuesday, be informed about why this is important, why you need to know about who these people are, and, you know, figure out who you want to vote for. Hamilton County Commissioner, which you should know why it's important, is interesting. You know, currently there's a chance that it could go unanimous Democrat if Stephanie Dumas could beat Chris Monzel, who's sitting on the lone Republican on the commission right now. You'd have three Democrats on there. What's the outlook on that race right now?
Well, certainly Monzel, who's a from Hamilton County politics, is a big name. Former city councilman is the incumbent commissioner right now, against Stephanie Dumas, who really is the surprise local candidate of the year here in Hamilton County, beat in the primary the endorsed Democrat. I mean, I don't think anybody thought she was going to win except her, and that's the most important thing, is that she believed she was going to win and went out and did it. And so she is a former Forest Park mayor and ran against David Pepper for commissioner a decade ago, early 2000s, and had a very respectable performance there. Very grassroots. You know, you're not going to see her on TV or a lot of internet ads, but I tell you what, like, she's got a strong base of people who, you know, can go out and help with the ground game. And I think in this day and age, the ground game is so critical, is getting that face-to-face and that interaction with voters. I think we've seen that here, you know, really in the post-Trump era, that door-to-door stuff and seeing people at festivals and being able to connect directly with the voter is so critical. And I think she's done that. And I think that's going to be a competitive race, maybe more so than what the insider types think.
Monzel's a favorite.
But Monzel's a favorite. And I think Monzel wins. It's just a matter, like, it's going to be more competitive than what, you know, maybe the people who pay really close attention to this might think it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting one to watch there. Let's flip over to the Commonwealth, Campbell County.
Yeah.
Michelle Snodgrass, Democrat.
Justin Fortner.
Yep. Justin Fortner, Republican. Why you pinpointed this race? Why?
Well, I think Michelle Snodgrass is safe. She's a very highly respected prosecuting attorney. You know, in Kentucky, they call it the Commonwealth's attorney. But you can never take anything. She's a Democrat, and you can never take anything for granted as a Democrat in Northern Kentucky anymore. She is actually the only countywide elected Democrat left in Northern Kentucky of all the high-profile jobs.
Really?
I believe there are probably some judges who are Democrats, but those are technically nonpartisan roles.
Hmm.
But the Democrat or the Republicans have really swept through Boone, Kenton, and Campbell counties. And, you know, when we saw the Tea Party uprising a decade ago, this was one of the hotbeds. Northern Kentucky was one of the hotbeds for Tea Party Republicans. And that kind of fiscal, conservative, Republican nature has really remained. And it's a big Trump country now. And so, you know, you look around and Michelle Snodgrass is very much in the minority party in Northern Kentucky. On the flip side, she's respected by both sides. She's been in that role for 10 years and was an assistant prosecutor. I think overall she's been in the Commonwealth Attorney Office for 17 years. She did a tremendous job on the on both Shana Huber's trials, and now Shana Huber's is going to prison for life. And, you know, she was a rock star. She, being Snodgrass, was a rock star in those trials, and tough, no nonsense. And but again, you know, as a Democrat, you can't take anything for granted.
Yeah,
Northern Kentucky,
absolutely. Let's go over to sort of that Anderson area, Ohio's 27th district.
Yep.
Christine Fisher, the Democrat, and Tom Brinkman, the Republican. Is that going to be close, do you feel, or is that I mean, that's interesting territory.
It is. And I tell you, in the last 2 weeks leading up to me writing this over the weekend, I would ask all of our folks around here, Republicans, Democrats, the people that are on the inside and see the polling and who have their ear to the ground on all this stuff. Every time I would say, hey, I'm gonna put this thing together of like local races to watch, first thing every single person said was, keep an eye on that Brinkman race. Mm-hmm. Sleeper candidate. And here's why. Brinkman, the big picture is that, you know, there's a lot of belief this is the year of the woman, and that suburban women are turned off by Trump and the things that he says. And so Democrats are really hoping for a crossover suburban women vote. And that is a prime district. You've got Mount Lookout and, East Side Indian Hill and Mount Washington and Anderson Township and Marymount. Marymount. And so you have a lot of women voters, affluent middle-class women voters who, Republican territory. But Christine Fisher is a former Procter & Gamble manager, a young up-and-coming candidate in the Democratic Party, and, going against a probably the most fiscal and social conservative state lawmaker in Tom Brinkman. And so, you factor all those things together, and there's a lot of people, not just here, but across the state, who are looking at that race as a potential opportunity for the Democrats.
That is interesting. And that's what we've gone back and talked about, and what's been part of the national conversation is the trends of the blue wave, and it's mm-hmm. and it is so much going to be a female rooted wave. You can't draw it up more.
Yeah,
you can't draw it up more than to see if the voters come out in that respect. Then that it's a perfect local point to a big national storyline.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll give the Democrats credit. Like, I think five of these races four of the five races I brought up involve Democratic. I mean, the Democratic candidate is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They found the right, or they believe they found the right candidates at the right time, and they've been running good campaigns, and this is the climate is ripe for women candidates to come in and grab some grab some seats.
Yeah.
In the state house or here locally as well.
And, to keep that trend rolling, Ohio's 28th down in sort of northeast Hamilton, similar situation.
Yep,
Jessica Miranda, a Democrat. And so you're talking about Jessica going up against Jonathan Deaver, a Republican. I mean, it seems like it's kind of cut from the same cloth as the last one you just talked about.
Yeah, and this one's even a little more of a swing district now that the Brinkman district has been traditionally for a long time Republican, whereas the 28th district, which is northeast Hamilton County, over kind of a bridge over across the northern part of the county, Forest Park, Sharonville, then on over to Madeira, Montgomery, Sycamore Township, that area, has been more of a swing district in that Connie Pillich, Democrat, she's now the co-chair of the Hamilton County Democratic Party, held that seat for 8 years before she was term limited out. Then Jonathan Deaver, Republican from Madeira, won that seat in 2014. Now, I have had Republicans tell me, two Republicans over the weekend tell me that internal polling shows that Deaver is in some trouble.
Really?
Yeah, and that makes sense when you think, again, some of the things we just talked about,
mm-hmm.
the Trump resistance, and then you factor in that this is a swing district that is – both been represented by Democrats and Republicans, so maybe it goes back to the Democrats this time.
We shall see. All interesting stuff. And again, I will say, You know, we've gone through so many of the issues, so many of these races mm-hmm. over the course of the last month here on That's Insane Podcast. If you have a chance, if you care about an issue, go back. The issues we talk about are in the headlines of all those podcasts. We dive into all of them, whether you're talking about issue one, which is the drug laws with the four or five felonies, and then you're talking about issues 10 and 11, which we have an endorsement out on NowIt'sInsane.com.
Which are City of Cincinnati,
yeah, which is the two years versus the 4 years.
Where you're staggered, yep.
Yep, that's all out. We have a whole podcast talking about that with Sherry Coolidge. So much of that stuff we have gone through, so I recommend if you have a chance, if you're not sure about how you want to vote, please go back, listen to some of those, and make sure you go and inform. But mostly, can't say it enough, vote. Everybody, absolutely, please vote on Tuesday, no matter which way you want to go, which side you're on. It's just important for everybody to get out there. The reason I really fought, and I think you did too, for doing this podcast is more people have to understand the importance of local,
yep,
local voting, local politics. Everyone draws the headline, Trump or Obama or whatever you're yelling about that. What really truly affects your life, whether your street gets paved,
yep,
or whether the issue about the thing that's getting built right down over there happens, or a stadium ends up in your backyard. All of that stuff is by local politics, local issues. That is what affects you. And all this national stuff is fine to talk about, and it's great for national news. This stuff is what really matters to you, the Cincinnatian, and that's why it's so important for these years to get out and vote and really vote for what is important to you in your everyday life, because it really will affect you.
Great. I mean, I'm really glad you made that point, because you can't hammer that home enough. These local, I mean, no one sets policy more than the state house folks, and then your local elected officials and your state rep and state senator. These are the folks who are calling the shots on most of how your tax dollars are paid. These are the folks who are making sure that your highway is built and paved, and your streets are paved, and that there are police officers on your streets patrolling and making sure your streets are safe, and that 911 centers make it out. The county has such a huge part of that, and so
all this stuff,
things that affect your really truly picking up your trash daily life has to do a lot with your local officials, not so much about who's in Congress and who's in the White House.
Yeah, and these local and these local issues. I mean, what will happen here if issue one goes one way or the other? Will we see significant changes to what's happening with how drug users are finding life to be, or how many more are coming in, or what? I mean, that's huge. And how much more accountability would we get out of 2 years versus 4 years?
Exactly.
That's big.
It's huge. You talk about issue one, and I think a lot of the stuff that's being said about it is scare tactics,
yep,
my opinion.
Yep.
But the fallout or the results of issue one are going to be are left to your local and state folks to address whatever comes of that, whether it's good or bad, whether, there's more crime on the streets because of it. That's not what the folks in Congress are going to be dealing with, but it's going to be what your county commissioners and who oversee the sheriff's department and your city halls and your state house. And those are the folks who are going to be making the decisions on how to handle that stuff.
Yeah. We will have all the information on that and more when we're back next week after the election. So it'll be, we'll be recording it on Wednesday. So we'll get it up as soon as we can, but you'll have the reaction to that next week after the election fallout happens. But now, let's interview time. Let's bring in Burl, huh?
Love it.
All right.
Come on now.
All right, interview time here on That So Cincinnati Podcast. This is a special one, Jason.
It's really special.
Well, although I feel like...
It's really special.
I feel like this man has always been with us. Well, at least we've brought him in pretty much every single week to the TSC.
He's our biggest champion.
But now he's actually going to be here to speak and not just have us speak about him. That's our editor, Burrow Love, who's going to join us. Thank you for coming in and not having us have to talk behind your back.
This is a big moment in my life.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
The highlight of your first 10 months.
It is. Yeah, it really is.
Job back at the Cincinnati
Because
Choir.
I'm a big fan. You know, yeah. I'm a big supporter, but I'm a huge fan of this podcast. Right. So,
well, we appreciate it, and we're very happy that you're a big fan supporter of this podcast, and that we've been able to do it because we're enjoying doing it. We think it's been fun and informative and all those things, and it's about to get even more interesting as we get into very close to being Aftermath episode, which I'm very excited about
right.
next week.
Hey, mm-hmm. First two positive reviews on iTunes as well. I noticed.
I think the reviews have been mostly positive.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no,
like
they
anything.
Have, yeah. There's only two reviews and they're both positive.
Yeah, we've got, you know, there's always stuff to get better, but I feel like most people I've talked to seem to be enjoying it. So,
did we look to see who wrote those reviews?
Is it
like
are they
Paul's
related
mom.
To you or is it one of those people
PDJ
that you shouted
1998
out? No, it's
at Moeller.
It's all at Go Herd or something like that, you know. It's one of those millions of people you shouted out in a high school reunion episode.
Probably was.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of stuff to talk about here. I want to start by asking you how your experience coming back to Cincinnati has been. I can go big picture here before we get into like actual stuff, because you know, like you said, 10 months. So that's all it's been. I haven't
it's just been 10 months.
Feels like it's been longer than that. Feel like you've been back here for a while now.
The pain I've caused seems yeah. like it's been more.
Seems
than
like it. More of the pain I've caused and the gray hair
you know,
put on your head.
Jason keeps me busy.
Yes,
but I knew that
he
going into
nervous.
It because he's you know we you know his job is to be the provocateur. So
yes.
If he's not. You know, making someone angry, then he's really not pushing hard enough, I don't think. Now, we have to be responsible, of course,
absolutely.
And make sure we have all our facts. But, yeah, I it's been great being back. People always ask me, what is the biggest change? Because I was gone about 10 or 11 years. And, you know, I grew up here. I went to high school here. So, Forest Park, go Chargers. And my alma mater is really no more. You know, it got merged with Green Hills High School.
Right.
So, but anyway.
Like Wynton Woods, right?
Yeah, Wynton
yeah,
Woods.
Yeah.
In fact, not to like digress, but I was really excited to see that during basketball season they have two throwback nights. The Wynton Woods Warriors on one night will dress in Forest Park Charger blue uniforms mm-hmm. to bring in all those alumni, and then they'll wear Green Hills Pioneer jerseys on another night. So I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, everyone asks me, what's it like being back after 10 years? There's been a lot of changes. What's the biggest change? And my go-to joke line is that, well, the biggest change, something I'm still not, you know, really settled with, is that Grater's mint chocolate chip ice cream isn't green anymore. Mm. When did that happen?
I don't know when that
I
happened.
I don't know when that happened.
I was never
it is
like,
white.
Into
you're right,
the
it's
mint.
White.
It's white now. And yeah. I found out the backstory. You know, they have a big grocery segment, and a lot of the grocers that they work with don't want artificial additives like coloring, food coloring. So that neon green coloring that they used to have apparently isn't, you know, like Whole Foods. I don't know if they're in Whole Foods or not, but there are certain grocers that want, you know, more, less of those additives. So they had to adjust it and it's no longer green.
Man, I get in there and I'm just such a homer. I just go right to the raspberry chocolate chip or yeah. cookies and cream as well. Maybe something seasonal. I've never really gone into the mint. I probably should. I mean, maybe
I think it's a staple. It's one of their states.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw a wrench in this. I'm a big UDF ice cream guy.
I agree with
I
you.
I like it too.
Shakes. I go in there for the shakes
or malts.
Yeah. UDF yeah. for Grater's. I'm choosing UDF.
Don't you get
time.
Mad though when someone at UDF is like put out because you're asking them to make a malt because that's a lot of extra work.
Right.
They'd rather just make a quick scoop or something, and they're like, really?
My favorite thing is about when you go in to make UDF, is there anything more like happy that you can do for something than make a milkshake, right? It's so wholesome. It's so great. But often the person making it is
it's
so
a lot of work.
Unhappy about what they're doing.
I've,
and I'm just like, no,
I've
you're
watched
making
them.
A milkshake.
I mean, it's a pain to clean it up, you
yeah,
know?
It is.
And it takes long, and meanwhile, people are waiting in line.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, but it's great to be back because if you do what I do, you know, edit newspapers, and you get to do it in your hometown, what's better than that?
Agreed. Absolutely. As I gotta say this. Let's dive into. I thought this was very interesting. So no more endorsements, right?
No.
Of races.
Of people.
Of candidates.
Of candidates.
That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of people. The issues are still, those endorsements are up at sustain.com. You can go look at the issues that you guys have already weighed in on. What went into that decision, and what was the bit? Where did that? How did that kind of come about?
Well, you know, it's a discussion that we've been having a lot. And when I say we, our industry editors, people who work in newspapers, revisiting endorsements and trying to come up with a way that for this era, especially, you know, with digital media being so pervasive and people having more access than they ever did, what's the job to be done for us? And is it to, from our, you know, bully pulpit, say this is the candidate you need to vote for? I don't think that is our role anymore. And it dates back to an era in newspapers when newspaper ownership controlled the editorial pages and the newsroom was walled off separately. And people knew that. They understood that. I would call that newspaper literacy was probably a lot higher than it is now. And so if you lived in a town, you knew who owned the newspaper and you expected them to endorse candidates or issues or parties based on who they were, you know, who they were a member of. And that's not the case anymore with newspapers. We're corporately owned. And as I said in the column, our parent company, Gannett, really doesn't care or have an interest in who Cincinnati area, Ohio, Kentucky voters vote for. But what can we do? You know, we have access to the candidates. They come in and they sit down with our editorial boards and we get to ask them questions. We get to really dig into issues that you don't hear on the campaign trail. We strive to ask them tough questions, no softballs. And so we can really analyze and evaluate for our audience, which I think is an important job we do, and that's making sure our democracy works by having an informed electorate. So as soon as we say, this is the person you should vote for, it alienates half of our audience. They just shut us down and say, well, okay, you're showing your cards. We can't trust you. But when we come out and say, you know, we're not going to do that. We are going to attempt to do a side-by-side assessment, and you know what issues are important to you. You know if you are pro-life or pro-choice. You know if you are big government, you know, or you want government to have a smaller role. You know where you stand. And so if we can clearly define each candidate by where they stand on the issues, then you get to decide. So that's where we are right now. And some people thought that was a great idea, and others, the response to my column, you would have thought that I don't know, you know, canceled Christmas.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. Like, maybe I'm a little, I don't know, too new school in this way, but I've never really understood newspaper endorsements because of what you just said. It's like it alienates a faction of readers, and it's like, what's the point? Like, I mean, we don't want to be looked at as like, oh, you're a conservative newspaper, or you're a liberal newspaper. It's like, that's not what we're here for. And I also think, like, you know, why do that? Like, why alienate? Or, oh, this is what I was going to say, is that, to me, like, what does it really matter to the voter what the newspaper says about this candidate? Because I always feel like the only endorsement that really matters for candidates is the party endorsement, because that's what gets you on the sample ballot, and that's what voters pay the closest attention to. So I think all these other endorsements are just noise, including newspaper endorsements. Mm-hmm. Thoughts? Sorry, I stumbled.
You could argue these whole last couple months are just noise in a lot of ways. Because like you said, with everybody's endorsement, I mean, it's all part of the noise. I mean, but I would be with you. I don't.
Well, one of the criticisms that I got from several people in response to the column, they were calling us out for making what was purely a financial decision, that if we endorse, you know, and this happened in the last presidential election, the Cincinnati Inquirer, which has tended over the years to be more conservative in its editorial pages, and the editorial board endorsed Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump. And the conservative Trump supporters in our market didn't like that, and many of them canceled their subscription. And it was widely known because it was a very, you know, on social media, people were calling for, if you're a subscriber to the Enquirer, you need to cancel your subscription because they endorsed Hillary Rodham Clinton. And there is some truth to that. I mean, we need to pay the bills to do journalism in this community and be an independent news organization. But it's bigger than that. If our job is to give issues public airing, public scrutiny, keep our electorate informed, which, you know, the one way to crush a democracy is to have uneducated, uninformed voters. So if our job is to do that, if that's our number one job, why would we consciously decide to alienate half of the potential audience we have? So it's not just about canceled subscriptions, because these people that canceled their subscriptions still read us every day online. And by the way, you can subscribe digitally and support local journalism. I hope you plug that later.
Log on and love it.
But it's bigger than simply an economic decision. It's if we are going to fulfill, I think, our First Amendment duty to make sure that the people are educated when they go to the ballot box, we need to have a wide audience. And so I don't think it does anyone any good for us to, you know, hold on to this antiquated tradition of newspapers to anoint candidates.
Well, and
amen to that.
Well, yeah, and it fits.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
What? Amen.
Amen. The one thing I feel like is that everybody in the across industry, whether you're new school or whether you're an old school like this paper is, has to be reevaluating how you look at everything. And everybody is. I mean, so much is changing. This falls into line with that, right? I mean, this is about the evolution of an entire industry. It's not a, and that includes people that have had to change more than any, these places like us, like old school newspapers are the ones that have been, it's most obvious that you're changing because you've been here the longest and you're the one forced to change the most because of the new landscape.
And I think one of the things that we've seen in the digital explosion of media is that there are information providers who make no mystery about what their politics are. Mm-hmm. And so if you are conservative, you know which websites to go to. If you are more liberal or progressive, you know which websites to go to, which publications to read. And it's this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy where you only, you know, and Facebook algorithms do the same thing. Pretty soon you're in this bubble of like-minded thought. And I think the response that we should have is to be the one place where you can have some serendipity, get both sides of an issue so that you can make a more informed decision. And I think my hope is that, you know, we saw the swing, this incredible swing to people only following information providers that line up with their politics. And I hope that we're going to see this pendulum swing back, that where people say, okay, enough of that. I think our country is best served by people taking the time to be well-read on what the important issues are, and that means hearing thoughts and opinions that might not match up with yours.
Anything, you know, being through all the editorial board meetings with candidates and talking about issues, I mean, did anything stick out to you through all of those? Was there a candidate or something said or through all of those, anything through this whole process that has stuck out to you as far as editorial board conversations and interviews and everything else?
You know, one of the things that always strikes me is that I think we're very fortunate to be able to sit down with the candidates in that type of setting where they are not scripted, where they they relax a little bit, and you can really see who they are, and it humanizes them. I think, you know, when your only view of the candidate is the campaign attack ads, like, you know, like my son and I had a conversation about the first congressional race, because all he's really seen is, you know, these AFTAB Shabbat ads, and he hates them both.
Yeah,
he's like, they're both bad people, and I'm like, well, that's the problem of how, you know, the campaign advertising is gone, and so it's I think it's a privilege for us to be able to have that access. But what struck me is just interesting things like, you know, let's talk about Shabbat and Pearval for a second. You know, Shabbat was very comfortable. You can tell he's not his first rodeo. He leaned back. He loosened his collar. He was joking around. I thought he was going to put his feet up on the table while he was talking to us. You know, Pearval, first-time candidate, sat up straight, like, you know, razor straight, stayed on his script. You know, when we asked questions that he didn't really want to answer, he had his, well, I can tell you this, response ready to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that part's fascinating too. To see the candidates in different stages of their, you know, experience and maturity was kind of interesting too.
Super interesting race. You know what? We do the That's So Cincinnati moment here every week, and you very prominently spoke about Tickle Pickle and the
Godsmack a couple weeks ago.
I feel like
creator of this, of the That's So Cincinnati moment of the week. Let's give credit where credit's due.
So I was going to say, credit needed to show up, that is actually where this originated. And that is, let's give it its due right now. Thank you for this great idea. We appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, but that being said, it would only be fitting in your appearance here that you would have a That's So Cincinnati moment to come on here with. So do you have a That's So Cincinnati moment?
I actually do.
All right.
So my That's So Cincinnati moment of the week regards the Reds. You know, we had big news when the Reds named their manager finally. And that in itself, as you guys discussed, was a That's So Cincinnati moment of the week, because it's a Moeller guy.
That's right.
And his last name is Bell. I mean, how much more can Cincinnati can you get? But the Red story that like blew that one away and took all the oxygen and became a story of the week was this. Marty Brenneman announces he's coming back in 2019.
Yes.
And no one cares anymore about Dave Bell.
Because Marty Brenneman is Cincinnati.
So that made me laugh.
Yes.
Like, and if you look at, you know, the stories that we do, we can measure how many people read them and click on them and everything like that. The Bell story was big, and there was a lot of stories, you know, a lot of different angles to cover with that one. And there was tremendous audience interest in that. But one little quick story about, you know, Marty's back in 2019 raced up the charge with, you know, just as much energy. So that gave me a little chuckle.
It is. I wonder if there is like a more universally beloved person in this city. Like, I mean, honestly, I mean, I guess there's some people who don't like Marty. They think he's too negative.
You know what, though?
Like,
I just had this thought. Another good idea for you.
Yes.
You're welcome. Is to truly bring this podcast up to the level it needs to be. You need to have Marty in the guest spot.
We totally agree.
We've talked about that.
It will happen.
So if Marty's listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
How could he not?
How could you not? When you're traveling
the hottest
world,
podcast in the country right now.
It's flying up the charts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We totally need to make that happen. I'm with you on that.
My good friend, and we hope yours.
Yeah.
John Fay. Read him daily.
That's it. All right, Burl, thank you so much for hopping on and joining us and chatting. You know, hopefully you can eat something that's as good as the Godsmack was that day, but has anything come near it since then?
No.
No.
Really, I can't think of anything.
No.
Wait.
I haven't gone after, you know, out to find something, but wait, what?
This is where I come in.
This is where Jason likes to be like, oh, since you're wrapping it up, it's time for me to keep it going.
That's the charming part about this podcast. You're
record scratch.
Yeah. Wait, that was a good
your
job.
Your futile
ending,
efforts to wrap up a segment, and Jason's like, I just thought of something.
I thought of another question. Are you, Burl? Doing that, or do you actually have something?
Oh, yeah, I've got something.
All right.
Burl, who's your favorite band?
Oh, my gosh. I have a lot of favorite bands because I like a lot of different types of music. But the constant, the one I go back to, like when I explore this or that or listen to new stuff or listen to old stuff and I need to center myself, I usually put on some Neil Young.
That's solid. That's better than Richard Marx. That's all I can say.
I'm offended that you put the two in the same sentence.
I know. I didn't want to. I didn't want to, but it needs to be pointed out again. Because this is not going away anytime soon.
Now and forever, Burl, I will be your man when it comes to covering politics.
Oh, stop.
On that note, I really feel like it's time to wrap it up, unless you would like to jump back in again and try to keep it going.
I'd like to talk a little more music. I feel like Burl's got a lot of
I will tell you that the closest I came to like crushing and killing this podcast was when
is this where we had to go with it? We didn't have to do this. Come
was
on.
Was when Jason professed his admiration for Richard Marx.
Yeah.
To have someone like that representing the Enquirer
right.
in such a public way, I had to really, really, you know.
And I feel like every time he says it, on behalf of everyone in this building, I have to be like, we're not all like this.
Right.
It's just him.
Right. And no offense if you like Richard Marx. I mean.
No offense. I think offense. I got a problem with it.
Is your son a big, is he into music?
He is. You know, he likes a lot of the new stuff. We have Sirius XM. So he, you know, if I'm listening to something, he's like, can you put on pop, please? Can you put on pop, please? Or hits one. So, you know, 21 Pilots and...
Walk the Moon. Who we need to get on here.
That would be
fun as well.
Talk about
their Cincinnati roots.
How old is your son?
He's 12, going on 18.
What's his favorite thing about Cincinnati?
You know, I would say he is one of 13 cousins, and 10 of them live here. So when we lived in D.C., and we would come visit, and he's an only child, and he was surrounded by all this crazy family, and then we would leave to go back home, he always felt like he was missing out on something. So for him, coming back and just being around family was huge.
That's awesome.
That's so Cincinnati.
That is so
coming
Cincinnati.
Home to Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
So Cincinnati.
It really is.
When you've got 12 first cousins, that's so Cincinnati. Yeah. And they all live around.
Yeah, that totally is. Yep. Absolutely. All right, that really will wrap us up. Thanks so much for joining us, though. Really appreciate it. Thank you for not crushing us despite Jason's musical taste. Very much appreciated.
I showed restraint.
Thanks for everything.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Well, much thanks to Burl for joining us. It was great to have him here in the studio.
In the closet.
In the closet. The closet. That's attached to the real studio.
Yes.
It's not quite as glamorous
as
the studio.
Closet.
It's the podcast closet with a box in it.
A little closet inside the closet,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. But we're here. And thanks to him for coming and joining us and not canceling us and being a big fan and champion of the pod.
Absolutely.
Great to have him on. He had his That's a Cincinnati moment that definitely stands up as a very Cincinnati moment of the week. I will say I sort of have one along very similar lines because we're having our one-off Beyond the Stripes live at Holy Grail Banks.
Oh, nice.
Tuesday night, so it was last night if you're listening to this. And we're like, well, when we're doing our just a one live show, we got to who can you get to bring – you know, bring a lot of people in. Make sure it's a good crowd, good one for the crowd. Some of the guests that we have on the show, when we do them here in the studio, are for us, for content.
Yeah.
Really interesting, but not a huge name, not like a fan guy, whatever. You know what you do when you need people? You tap into the Cincinnati pipeline. You go to Moeller. You get a local man, Sam Hubbard. So Sam coming down and joining us so we know that the people are going to come because Lord knows every – person who's watched him at Mueller or was Ohio State fan or just loves all things Cincinnati will be down there hooting and hollering and trying to get his autograph. I see more 94 jerseys now at Bengals games, and I always go around to look to see if they're Pecco, because that was he was pretty popular for a while. No, they're almost all Hubbard. It's crazy how many Hubbard jerseys there are. I assume they're all related to him in some way, shape, or form.
Cincinnati likes its own homegrown
we love
athletes.
Our people. We love our people. And that is why, that's why Tommy Tuberville didn't work.
That's exactly right.
Because he didn't like people from here. He thought his people from wherever, Florida or South, wherever. And nothing will piss off your base here in Cincinnati than finding out that in your 3 years you never even went to Elder. Ooh. Never even went in there and talked to a coach or LaSalle. Never even, hardly ever at any of these places. And you never recruited those places.
Elder, LaSalle, Mueller, St. Xavier, Colerain, Sycamore, Mason. I mean, these are
Lakotas.
Like, these are like thick stitches woven into
with
the fabric.
Players in the NFL. Like,
yeah,
real
of this community.
This is, yeah. I mean, this is not you guys that you should honestly, when Ohio State comes knocking, you should be competing for if you're Cincinnati.
Exactly.
And now, how often are they going to pick you over Ohio State? Not often, but you should be in the building and in the conversation, and them considering staying home. You got it. You have to own that. And what, you know what happens when you don't own that? What happened here over 3 years with UC football, where it just fell apart. Lou Fickell came in, re-owned it, and I think you see what's happening now. It's... Their recruiting classes are better.
7-1? 8-7-1?
They have the one loss. Yeah, I don't know how many wins they are up to now after their pick six against SMU. But
7 or 8-1, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But regardless, we love our own. You gotta recruit at home if you're gonna be any kind of team around here.
Amen to that, bro.
Jaron Cumberland across right over on in UC. He didn't get out of here.
Wellington.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes. Is that what they are? Hurricane?
Man. I should know. Lindsay Patterson's from Wellington.
Oh, is she?
She's the second most famous person from Wellington.
Next to?
Quentin Rollins. He played for the Packers, but then he got cut, so we think Lindsay might be the first now.
I thought you were going to say former, me coming from the political world, the former disgraced Speaker of the Ohio House, Cliff Rosenberger, who's under FBI investigation right now.
Well, I mean, depending on what happens at an investigation, you might get more famous.
I guess so.
Notorious. Depending on how
anyway, what else we got, son?
I don't know. Well, we've got. What are you guys doing this weekend? Well, you have Halloween plans, I assume?
Yeah, but it's supposed to rain.
It is. This rain is raining on our parade.
Almost
quite literally.
I'm just going to sit in my man room, my man cave, which I actually don't really have, but just thought it sounded cool. And listen to Richard Marx.
I wish
for Halloween.
You should be Richard Marx for Halloween. That's a good idea right there.
Am I Richard Marx now with like short hair? Or am I Richard?
Oh,
Marx
I want you like
from the early 90s,
struggling, like not happy with his life as he's older. Richard Marx, like sleeping on the cot in the corner of Capitol Records. Richard Marx. That's what I want.
I'm not Richard Marx married to Daisy Fuentes.
No. Richard Marx had his heyday. I think that's a good idea. Are your kids dressing up?
Yeah, they're going as Ghostbusters.
Nice.
2-year-old Roman is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Nice.
And almost 6-year-old Reed is a Ghostbuster. He likes Winston Zeddemore, I think.
Yeah.
That's his favorite.
He
wants
the
to be
Bill
Winston.
Murray character?
That's who is... There's Ray Stans. I think that's Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd? Yeah.
Yes.
Peter Venkman.
Peter Venkman is Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Who?
Peter Venkman, I mean, he's a star. It's got to be Venkman.
I'm just tired of hearing about Bill Murray around here.
Why? Like, oh, because the Xavier thing?
Yeah, he gone now, though.
Yeah, it is.
Egon Spengler.
Yeah.
And that guy passed away, I believe.
Egon.
But, yeah.
Egon has gone bye-bye, one of my favorite moments.
He wants to be Winston, so.
This is beyond my capacity for rational thought.
They all wear the same, like, tan onesie suit thing.
Yeah.
No, so that's what we have.
Different names on it.
Went on Amazon and bought this thing for like $20 or something. So
I like that one is going to be the Stay Puft though. That's strong. When I went to OU, you know, Halloween's a huge deal there. I was like, let's see. I was a freshman year. I was like, how real is this Halloween thing? I've never been before. I was Flavor Flav, and I was super excited about it. I had the clock and everything. I mean, full on. I'm so excited. I think I've got this totally unique idea. I show up. I'm not out there 10 minutes. I see another Flavor Flav.
Oh, man.
I'm like, what are the odds? That's how crazy this is. And then, so after a little while, about the middle of the, 10:30, so prime time for the Court Street party where they shut down Court Street. It's like shoulder to shoulder people.
Oh, yeah.
There's like 30,000 people there. Here comes down the street a massive, like, probably 50-foot tall Stay Puft marshmallow man. That a bunch of engineers built with like pipes, and so its arms moved or whatever. And there were four people operating it on the bottom, all on poles, and the arms would move or whatever. And it was coming down the street. It was straight out of Ghostbusters. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then it would stop periodically and spit out like foam, right? All over on everybody. And that's when I was like, wow. OU Halloween is
it's the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Flavor Flav 5 minutes in, and then here came the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Did you pull out your flip phone and take a picture?
At that point, I didn't even have a phone. I'm in college. Oh, that was 1999. I got no phone. I didn't have a phone until I got out of college.
I was in my second year of my career then.
Yeah. When did you get a cell phone?
I didn't get a cell phone until like 01.
Yeah. That's about
02, something like that.
That's about the range.
I was one of the latest people to get one too.
Oh, I was later than you. I was 03.
Oh, Sprint flip phone.
I was one of those that said cell phones are going to kill us, and I'm not going to get one because they are going to be the death of humanity. And that was my theory at the time, and I think it's coming kind of true. But
our careers are like tied to
obviously
a smartphone.
No, obviously.
I know.
Yeah. Is there anything worse than them inventing that screen time thing that pops up now and tells you how long you were on your phone during the week?
I know.
Dude, I gotta get rid of that thing. That is really makes me sad all the time.
Actually, I just learned about this. We were over at a friend's house, neighbors, the other night, Sunday night, having dinner, and they were just talking about the screen time thing, and that's the first time I'd heard about it.
It pops up automatically. It sends you an alert.
Yeah. Which, by the way, while we were there, these are some new folks we met, like in our neighborhood, the Janigans.
Shout out Janigans.
Janigans. Or as my son Reed calls them, the Jamigans.
The Jamigans.
They like put some music on as we're like making dinner and stuff or like hanging out. Straight out of the 80s, baby.
Oh,
Tears
like
for
that.
Fears.
Oh, okay.
Foreigner.
Okay.
I mean, it was just.
You haven't embarrassed yourself yet.
One 80s. Gem after another. There was no Richard Marx. I don't know if this was.
Did they play Beatles and you're like, get this crap off?
No.
Led Zeppelin. They suck.
Try that
at a party.
Who's that bro likes? Neil Diamond.
Hot takes.
Is that who he likes?
It wasn't Neil Diamond.
Isn't that Sweet Caroline?
Neil Young. Yes.
Dun, Neil, dun, dun.
That's Neil Diamond. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Neil Diamond does other songs. We're coming to America. I saw a Neil
Today.
Diamond cover. I saw a Neil Diamond cover guy at 20th Century on Madison Avenue.
Like recently or
within the last 5 years?
Oh,
he was like a dude that did a spectacular Neil Diamond show. It was great. Although I gotta say, we did leave after like the first. We saw a couple. We saw like the first half, and then we were like, all right, it's enough. We get it.
Are the Is a Dane or Family Robinson going to be dressing up for a
Halloween? My daughter is going to be a duck.
Nice.
Because it's one of the first words she like.
Yeah.
Has down.
Not the AFTAB duck.
Yells
right.
Duck. Yeah. Like we go to the zoo and duck, right? So we're like, all right, well, you're going to be a duck then. So
the
we found the best
the AFTAB duck.
It's not the AFTAB duck or
the
AFLAC
duck.
No.
Which I think is actually a goose, but.
For another day.
Sorry.
Bottom
I do
line,
think the Aflac duck is actually.
Bottom line, excited about that. Sad about the rain possibly, wiping out.
Well, she'll be a duck so she can swim.
Boom. Perfect.
Now, did you guys make the costume? Or
no, we bought it.
Okay.
Are you
okay.
kidding me?
Okay.
I'm not homemaking costumes.
Now, are you dressing? Is Dad dressing up?
Well, we were trying to think of duck connections. So originally, it was going to be, we thought she'd be a strawberry, right? So originally, she was going to be a strawberry. My wife was going to be a blueberry. And I was going to be former Reds third base coach Mark Berry. I actually have a Mark Berry jersey, believe that or not, which is a whole separate weird story. Whoa. That I got at the St. Cecilia Festival. But for another
day. That's so Cincinnati, by the way.
It really is. So, but anyway, so that was the original costume idea, but we couldn't find a good strawberry. So we found a really good duck costume that's like huge, but with these funny little duck leggings and big that's slippers. Cute. So we're excited about it. And yeah. Last year she was 6 months old, so it was like, I guess we're taking her trick-or-treating, but she was so tiny, I got her a little bee outfit, so she was a bee, and I wore a beekeeper suit. I was the beekeeper. So that was last year, but she couldn't do, I just carried her around. Now she can walk. She's been practicing carrying her, her little
candy.
Pink pumpkin for the candy, and, so we've got, it's going to be exciting, I think. But
it is.
I don't know. We'll see.
Sweet
All right.
Caroline.
Good. Ba, ba, ba. Yeah, I know. Fitting we'd end that with the Boston Red Sox win.
Congratulations to Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, that's right.
Guy.
You know what? That's so Cincinnati. The first thing you would think is let's congratulate the local guy.
Like, I remember when I was covering sports, I went and covered a Madeira. I don't remember. Like, this is a while back, obviously, but I went and covered a Madeira high school basketball game, and he was like a freshman.
Yeah.
And that kid was like
he unbelievable. Could he was what he did at Madeira. I mean, of all schools to be playing, imagine what he was doing against that competition.
Yeah,
I mean,
left-handed.
That's how he broke. Like, how he broke. The hits record in Ohio. I mean, he was just unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, all right, we should get out. We've rambled a lot.
Yeah,
and so sorry about that. But if you enjoy it, great. More importantly, vote.
We Please endorse
get out and vote. We endorse
we
voting.
Have an endorsement voting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Totally. That's what we're all about here. So go vote for whoever you like, and we'll come back and tell you what happened next week. So look forward to hearing from all y'all then. Keep it locked, Cincinnati.com, for all the coverage. Hopefully you have our Cincinnati app. You need that because that will be buzzing you throughout the time, throughout those races, let you know as they go, as they happen. You need to come to us. We'll come to you. So anyway,
got a full team covering. Scott Wortman, Sherry Coolidge.
Pizza Night.
Jesse Balmer, Jackie Borchert, myself. Tons of others, millions of others here at Cincinnati.com.
That's it. The millions.
Keep coming back
millions.
To us. Our Facebook page, we'll have someone there all night, which actually will be me moderating and engaging.
Look at you.
And we'll have people out at AFTAB and Chabot and all of these local races. So stay with us, folks.
Absolutely. Keep it locked. We'll talk to you next week.